I'm very thrilled to be backstage with our wonderful composer, Christopher Theofanidis, after a stunning performance of his work, Rainbow Body. Hi, Christopher, and congratulations.
Thanks, Deborah. It's fantastic to be here, and what a sound.
Indeed. I wanted to know a little bit about Hildegard von Bingen, the 11th century abbess from rural Rhineland, Germany. Why is it that a millennium after she, you know, lived and worked and was so influential, why is she still important today?
Right. Well, you know, around the time that I was asked to write this piece for the Houston Symphony, there was this proliferation. There was the 900th anniversary of Hildegard of Bingen. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I started listening to all this music. And I thought, well, you know, the thing that occurred to me was that music really hasn't improved that much in 900 years. It's just taken a lot of different directions. And the thing that struck me about her music was how potent the emotive quality was in these chants, these very simple one-line chants. And this one in particular that the Rainbow Body is based on has kind of a healing quality to me. And I love that. And then as a personality, Hildegard was an amazing figure. I mean, she was a botanist, a theologian. She was the person who wrote the first morality play, was a visual artist and composer. And so just an extraordinary human.
Now, I was just looking at the text to this particular Ave Maria that you chose to inspire Rainbow Body, and it says, "Hail Mary, O source of life, in rebuilding salvation, who have shaken death and trotted down the serpent to which Eve reached up her neck high with a breath of pride. You have trampled down that serpent in giving birth to God's Son from heaven."
Yeah, I mean, those words are so beautiful, and all of her writing is like that. I mean, and she has such idiosyncratic descriptions sometimes where she'll talk about the Virgin Mary as green, like verdant, you know, meadows, rather than the kind of image of, you know, glowing white and things that you might associate with religious iconography. So it's a very creative language and very vivid.
Does that translate into her music, do you think?
I think so. You know, one of the things that's really neat about, she wrote for women, of course, instead of men. So the kind of typical Gregorian chant might go in one ear and out the other. As beautiful as it is, there are no melodic kind of things to hang your hat on. And with Hildegard, first of all, the high women's voices have this very vaulting quality, but she also latches on to key intervals and key things and repeats them inside the melodic lines. And so they're very memorable.
I noticed that you sort of pick up on those key intervals in the fact that Hildegard's music was just written as single line, monophonic, so the harmony is really implied, and yet you are able to bring a very rich harmonic language to that single melody. How did you do that?
Thanks for saying that. You know, one of the things that occurs to you when you listen to recordings of her music and when you hear recordings, you hear it usually in a kind of stone edifice like an abbey or a convent or a church. And the lingering sounds create kind of their own harmony and sustain. Mm-hmm. And so that was the inspiration for trying to get that sound in the orchestra. So for instance, in the opening when the strings are playing the main melody, what's happening is the first violins and half of the cellos are playing the tune. So it has a very bright kind of searing sound. But then all of the rest of the strings are holding little fragments of notes from that melody and just slightly longer than the actual melody itself. So it kind of mimics the decay in a church.
And the overtones really is a stunning effect. I noticed that you've used her work to influence other works of yours. So it sounds like she may continue to be an influence and a muse to you throughout your career.
I think so. You know, it's great fun to come back and revisit people that you know. I mean, it's one of the great things that makes the depths of literature and art and music so rewarding is that you keep coming back to them and they mean something different to you at different points in your life.
Oh, that's very true. And I just wanted to ask you about just the way you're able to juxtapose Hildegard's melodies with a very dramatic framework, especially at the beginning of the work with that kind of striking bass clarinet and cello solo that sounds so emotional and intense. How do you get from the more placid and ethereal music of Hildegard from that very intense orchestral framework?
Yeah, so one of the things that I decided about the structure of the piece was that I was going to think about the way she lived her life, which was both inside the abbey and outside the abbey. And the outside the abbey in medieval times was not a very pleasant place to be. I mean, it was full of disease and a lot of horrible things. And inside the abbey was this kind of inward-focused, God-focused reality. And so that's the way the piece is structured. They're alternating between both kind of inside and outside the abbeys with kind of increasing intensities, both built on the same material from the chant.
And how does Tibetan chant and the whole concept of rainbow body from the Tibetan rich literature and tradition play into the whole Hildegard medieval church chant?
Well, when I started, I didn't know. I mean, part of the problem with the, you know, creating something is that you have different kind of competing things that are vying for your attention, and you're not sure if they should go together or not. And I had been reading the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dying at the time, and this idea of rainbow body, which is that an enlightened being, when they die, their body is absorbed back into the universe directly as energy and light and help to purify, in the long run, the universe. And it's such a beautiful idea. And I realized that what I was doing by kind of obsessing on both these things was thinking about Hildegard kind of talking to us 900 years later and kind of her energy carrying forward in such a beautiful way.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. Thank you so much, Christopher. I'm really excited for all that's going on for you and was a thrill to hear your beautiful piece.
Thanks so much, Deborah.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.